Time is 8:15. Ian Bessarabi, the future of work. We're talking about 2020, how you can get out of your, basically how you can reinvent yourself in 2020. How does one?
With a lot of hard work and effort. So I'm going to put that out there, right now, because I don't want it to sound like it's something simple that you get up in the morning and you say, I'm going to reinvent myself. It takes a lot of courage, but the reason why this is such an important topic, and it comes from a very serious conversation I had with someone yesterday about the concern that everybody's having around the press that's coming out in South Africa. We've got the massive layoffs that are coming through many of our companies, Walmart, Dion Wyatt, Edgar's, Telkom, all of these. And then we get this report out that South Africa is now ranked the country with the highest unemployment rate. You know, so all of these negatives are starting to really permeate through the community, but also in people's minds. And the tipping point for me yesterday, it actually came out in a meeting yesterday, is that one of the key things that everybody has the ability to do is to reinvent themselves, is to really look. And this is the nice thing is there's no age restriction on this. So I always talk about, some people say, oh, no, yeah,
awesome.
There's no age restriction on reinventing yourself. So, and I challenge any of our listeners to message in and say they're too old, and I'll prove to them that they're not too old. I spoke to a 75-year-old person yesterday who is a rep. They've been repping their whole lives, and they literally have been doing it the traditional way. Now, for those of you that don't know, traditional repping modus operandi, that's going from customer to customer with a suitcase of samples and all of that. And that individual at 75 has had to upskill themselves to become technologically advanced so that they can give the customers what they want. And that's an online catalog, an online book. And if somebody at that age can take...
I think it's amazing.
It is amazing. And it encourages me to, it encourages me that everybody can do this, but it takes a huge amount of courage and it takes a lot of effort. It's because you're not going to learn a skill overnight. You're going to have to practice that. But what this individual taught me was the importance of taking your strengths. So he knew exactly what his strengths were. He knew how to schmooze the customers. He knew how to talk to them. He knew how to listen to them because he'd been doing that. He'd been going around for all these years. I don't know how long he's been repping for, but he's been going for many years. But he also admitted that he didn't know a thing about technology. So he allowed himself to be vulnerable and to ask somebody to teach him. So now
it's so interesting. You know, I'm thinking about it as you're talking, and so many people who have been in the same profession for years, but know to some extent that perhaps it's time to move on or to change something up, but just don't know how to do it and are so fearful of that change. And I often think about, and I use this example, of a specialist, doctor specialist, who perhaps have reached a certain age that maybe they shouldn't be either operating or doing procedures aren't ready.
No.
To retire,
no.
And maybe financially also have an incredible amount and a huge wealth of knowledge and experience. And my view with this is, and I've long had this idea, that there should be a group formed of specialist consultants, so that GPs, that your general practitioner, instead of sending somebody off to a specialist, will have an access number, let's say to a urologist, can pick up the phone and say, you know, I've got somebody, a patient here, this is what I'm seeing, what do you think? And they are available to consult, but actually to give huge amount of the massive amount of knowledge that they have back to the doctors. They can make money from it. I mean, if somebody turns that into a business. But what it is taking a industry, a profession, and saying, let's look at it differently, but not lose out on that wealth of knowledge and experience.
And Howard, that is something that is definitely the missing gem in every industry we have. And one can call it, some people call it consultants, as you've done. Mm. Other people call it mentors. Other people call it coaches. Some people I've known have been calling it ambassadors. But if we had to try and take a practical example about how, we've just spoken to Dr. Anton Marburg. Now, Dr. Marburg is a busy doctor in his practice, yet he's had to spend probably hours of time researching all of the stuff.
I can tell you for sure that he did.
Absolutely.
In fact, he spent a good portion of Sunday doing exactly that.
And that's very admirable of him, and I don't take that away from him. But think about if he had a panel of specialists or doctors who were retired or semi-retired, and he could sit with them and say, listen, can you go
do this research?
Yeah, we'll help you, or I'll give you the resources. Mm. And then in terms of like maybe accessing Google or accessing stuff, can you go and take that and consolidate it and give that back in terms of research? Now, that's giving somebody purpose. And when I say it's giving them purpose, it's honing in on their skills because no doubt, and I've seen that, especially in that industry of specialists, there's a lot of respect or a lot of mutual respect for doctors because of I would assume, but I think it's valid that it's because they've all done so much studying and they've had so much experience that they'll take the research, not at face value, but they'll trust the research. So if you thought about that as a practical example, that could be something where you could outsource it. And I use the word outsource. I know people get a bit nervous when you say outsource because there's the trust element, and you know, people always say, well, if you want something done, do it yourself. I don't agree with that. I think it depends on who you're outsourcing to. But Howard, the most important thing, and this is the key message that I want to get the listeners to really think about today, is really to start today thinking about your future. And what I mean about thinking about your future, it does not matter where you are today. If you're in a job that is pulling you down, something that you can't see yourself being there for the rest of your life, that's fine. But you've got that job, just stick with it. But start planning your future and think about what you want to do. And then the most important thing is what you need to do to get that. And I think that's the biggest problem, is people sometimes wait until it's too late. And then they think they're going to find a solution in the not.
So I want to, when we come back after the ads, I want to talk about taking the first step.
Okay.
Because that is always the most difficult. Ian Basarabi, talking about the future of work. What are the first steps? How do we take the first steps towards reinventing ourselves or making a big change in 2020?
The first thing is a bit about being mindful. So it's mindfulness. And why I mention mindfulness is because you have to learn to pay attention to your moment-to-moment or day-to-day experiences without judging them. We are very judgmental of ourselves, and we're very critical of ourselves, and we can't be kind to ourselves unless we first acknowledge we are in pain. So people that are putting on a brave face, just saying, I have to do something, but, you know, that proverbial but, I need to change jobs, but, I need to do this, but, you're not acknowledging it. So in tough times, mindfulness helps us to just pause, take a pause, breathe, and just see your suffering clearly. And when I say see your suffering clearly, acknowledge it and hold it. And when I say hold it, you need to actually acknowledge it so that you can move forward. Because until you acknowledge it, it just becomes an attachment, or it's something that you're dragging along.
So interesting. I often chat to a friend who has been in the same position for about 2 years. I mean, he's been in the position for a lot longer, but he's been very unhappy in the position for about 2 years. And every time we chat about it, he tells me how unhappy he is, how difficult the environment is. And I keep saying, but you have to make a move. You've got to take the first step. And he keeps saying, well, I don't even know how. I don't even know where to start. And then Melinda just says, been trying to figure out what I really want to do for years. I can't get past the first step. And that seems to be the biggest challenge.
You know why, Howard? It's because we're humans and we're creatures of habit. So what we do is we gravitate back towards comfort. So what will happen is you'll talk yourself out of something because it's comfortable. So,
and you'll list all of the dangers.
Absolutely.
In fact, she says, where's David Abramson? I think what we need to do is have this conversation with David Abramson on Thursday. Ian, we'll see if you're available. Maybe it is something to talk
about. Absolutely.
How do we create, how do we make, how do we change? How do we take that first step?
So one kind of idea I can leave with everyone, and most people that will see on Facebook, I'm a firm fan of Simon Sinek. If you've if there's one video you watch, is you go and look. It's quite an old one, but it resonates with everyone. It's Simon Sinek's golden circle. He calls it the golden circle. And the golden circle is effectively looking at things differently. So going back to the comments that we've heard and some of the points we've made, Howard, is that we often focus on what and how, what we need to do, how we need to do it. And what we leave for last is why we need to do it. So anybody out there today who is challenged with where to take the, make the first move, don't think about what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. Focus on why you're going to do it. And if you know why you're going to do it, why is your purpose? That'll then help you to understand, okay, I want to do this. I want to be a radio host. I want to be a coach. I want to be this. I want to be that. Then you know why you want to do it, and you want to do it because you want to help other people, or you want to do that. With that purpose, you can then work out afterwards how you do it and what you have to do to achieve that. But start with why.
All right. Jenny says, I disagree with Ian. Where the mind goes, energy flows. Sitting and analyzing and sitting on your pain and concentrating on your pain only magnifies it. Interesting, because, yes. And in fact, to some extent, to a very large extent, I agree with Jenny, because there's a balance.
Yes.
Because we know that doing changes everything.
Absolutely.
And if we ruminate and we sit in the same position over and over again, it's very, very hard to get out of that. Wow, I'm trying to actually just metabolize this SMS. This discussion, and it's not referring to you, Ian, it's to the one with Zanati, shows the difference between Jewish culture, Howard. Why don't you offer this trash to 702? You should know better, Howard.
You should.
I'm just looking.
But it's all your fault, Howard.
My mother's passed on, so it's definitely not her. Somebody's
Howard.
Grandmother just sent me that message. Sorry.
Howard.
Yeah, I should know better.
Yeah, Howard.
You know, they're not angry.
No, they're not.
They're not
disappointed.
Angry.
Howard,
they're just disappointed.
We're just so glad you're not sensitive.